Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think everybody knows this one. I'm just going to give you a few snippets from each verse. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. It's absolute security. Everything we need, Jesus will provide. You will notice that it says in that first verse, I shall not want. He didn't make a long list, because if you're like me, you'll forget virtually everything. But David just left it to the Lord. If I need it, he'll provide. As simple as that. Whatever it is, food, clothing, place to live, place to work if you're still that age, he will provide it, even though you have to wait a while. Jesus will provide. And God will supply everything we need. And then David, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Not just anybody's shepherd, he is mine. When you become a Christian, you have this wonderful God giving us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us 24/7, all our lives. And he's with us, whether we feel it, whether we know it, he's with us all the time. David didn't look to the past. He didn't say, the Lord was my shepherd, or the Lord will be, present tense. He is my shepherd, and he always will be. And the thing is that Jesus, he said himself, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can trust him, we can go to him at any time and ask, and he will give what is needed, not wanted. That's wonderful news, isn't it? We have the same level, I think. Once you're a believer, a true believer in God, you have that same assurance that the Lord is my shepherd. He is. And I like the first three words, the Lord is. He's always been, and he always will be. He will never not be there for us, which is, to me, truly wonderful. It is. So now we go on to verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. This gives the impression to me that it's calmness. It's peace and tranquility. And no matter what happens in the world, what happens to us, we still have that peace and tranquility. And then I thought, a true shepherd is always with his flock. A true shepherd never leaves his flock, or her flock these days, isn't it? And when you see them on the television sometimes, they love their sheep. They'll do anything for them. They won't leave them. You know, another thing is that the sheep know the voice of their master or mistress. And I remember an incident when we were on a walk in Derbyshire, and we'd climbed a long way up, and we were sitting down having our refreshments, you know, just a few sandwiches and a piece of cake and couple of bags of crisps and all that sort of stuff. We were on the edge of an escarpment, and below us, 200 feet or so below us, it was an open pasture, and we were watching, well, something to look at, and a wonderful view and all that. And then the farmer appeared through a gate, and he started to shout some silly thing. I won't try. But all of a sudden, he was pricked up. And first one started, and then another. And they all gathered around this farmer, who had got some food, naturally. And they just wouldn't let go. Until he'd given them the food, he was with them. And that was, to me, a picture of Jesus. You've only got to ask, and he will give. It's truly wonderful. But God does give us peace and tranquility, doesn't he? I mean, the world is, and our lives aren't on an even plane all the time. We get ill. Things happen in the world that bother us. Nothing's ever sweet and clean all the time, is it? We have problems. But God is there for us. All we have to do is to pray, and he will answer us. And then the next verse, verse 3. He restores my soul. And when does your soul need restoring? Again, who can we turn to? But our Lord Jesus, always. He is the only one who can really help us. He may give us a counsellor to go and see, but he is the one who we go and see when trouble brews or comes. And what does he restore us from, apart from what I've just mentioned? We, at times, go slack in our Christian walk, don't we? When we're not full on with Jesus. We used to call it backsliding at one time. But he's there to restore us back into full fellowship with him. What more can we want? Lord, I've sinned, I'm sorry, come back. And then he gathers us in his arms. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, what we know of our God, the shepherd is the only one going to show us the right and true way. We can trust him absolutely. He's always giving us the best. His way is always the way, not only to lead or guide. The translation says that it's a path of pleasure, not in this translation, in another one. The way he chooses is a path of pleasure, which is something nice, isn't it, rather than a rough one. But now we do come on to a run one. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I suppose all of us have walked through that valley with relatives who've died or gone very seriously ill, and things seem bad, never going to get any better. But who can we trust at that time? But the Lord, he is the only one that you can trust. He doesn't lead us in the path of righteousness for no reason. Because when the chips are down, then the Lord is there for us. Well, this valley of the shadow of death, if you've ever walked through a very narrow valley and it gets dark, you think, I don't like this very much. It's not very nice to walk in. Jesus is in the path that we have to walk in this life. And when you want to think about going through the valley of the shadow of death, I wonder what that feels like. Sally and I once had a phone call from a sister that my brother, who was way up in Northumberland, was on his deathbed and is not likely to last. There's a very long drive from Nottingham up to Northumberland. But we made it. He didn't know us. I don't know whether he really knew. At one time he was a go-ahead Christian, but the things happened in his life that they slacked off, unfortunately. We just said, he didn't know we were there. We just said, we're here now. We prayed quietly. His children were there as well. And when you see someone actually going, it's most unpleasant, especially someone you've known all your life. But when you know the Lord, it's a shadow of the valley. And it was, I heard a tape years ago, What's It Like? The Valley of the Shadow of Death. And the explanation was that you can be walking down the street on a hot day, and the sun shining, and a big lorry passes you, and its shadow is cast over you. Does it hurt? It's just a shadow. And for the Christian, when that time comes, you just pass from one place to another, and the shadow that's there is gone, and the new, the wonderful new, has come. So that's my experience. I don't want running over by a big lorry or anything, so it's a stupid thing. But he's there with us at the time. And I was reading in a book yesterday, and this sort of thing came up. And it was a young married couple who had been in full service for the Lord, and the wife took ill. This is some place in America, I don't know where it was. And I think it was a cancer, and it was inoperable. She was dying, but she was unconcerned what happened to her. I couldn't believe it really when I was reading it. And she was in the hospital, and she was memorizing texts, believe it or not, on her own deathbed. And the family went out, and just for a short period, and they came back into the room where she was, and she died. And the nurse said she was halfway through a verse when she died. Now, isn't that marvelous? And we can have the same sort of walk with our Lord, that when the time comes in this valley of the shadow, it is but a shadow and nothing more. Our God will say, come, and we go, and he takes him by the hand and wheels us in. Wonderful, isn't it? It's not a very nice subject, is it? But we all have to follow it. It's been 100% up to now. I don't know ever anyone who's climbed the stairs to heaven. But the thing is, as I just said, it's not the end. When we transfer from this life to the next, it's not the end. We've got a new life. And if my brother was saved, and his wife too, we were able to speak to her before she died, and she came back to the Lord, she knew that she was born again. We shall see them in heaven. Wonderful. And my parents too. Even better. So we move on then to 5. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Who are these enemies? There's plenty of them about. There are people you may have, or I have witnessed to, and they don't take it very easily sometimes. They don't want to know, because it means a whole life change. And they don't come on to hate you as much, but dislike you and will avoid you in the street if they see you. That's quite common, isn't it? But there are another set of beings that hate you, and those are fallen angels. They are those who practice witchcraft and wizardry and all that sort of thing, and they would love to drag you down. And they are strong, and you have to be very, very careful of them. But with our Lord, you can tell them to go away, and they have to. But the Lord provides a table of a bounty. We don't have to wait until we get there. It's not what they used to say, it's not pie in the sky when you die, but steak on the plate while you wait. Which I thought was quite a good one. We are well looked after, aren't we, in this country in particular, for food and clothing and housing and all the rest. We have everything we need. And so we come to the last one, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I was lying in bed yesterday, as is my wont, about 6 o'clock in the morning, wide awake, and I was thinking about this talk, and this verse came into my mind. Surely goodness and mercy. And the thought came into my mind, quite unbidden, unthought of, was this is the Christian's victory song. The Christian's victory song. If we're saved, surely goodness and mercy, even if you have a bad life sometimes, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, that, if that isn't good news, I don't know what is. We shall dwell with him. I just want to finish with a quote from an old hymn, a very old hymn, even older than me. And it goes, when all my labours and trials are o'er, do you know it? Say it with me then. When all my labours and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, 'twill through the ages be glory for me. And the chorus goes, glory to me, glory to me. That when by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory for me. That's my word to you today. We are blessed.